gay-ass name for a gay-ass podcast.
Aiden Wharton has made his grand return to That's a Gay-Ass Fucking Podcast. Aiden, you look stunning, but also, what is this background giving?
You know, I wanted to give you a gay-ass background for a gay-ass podcast. So I picked the gayest wall in my house.
I hope you're ready for the gayest questions, because we're going to get into, of course, your Substack Gay Buffet. Of course, your videos and Instagram called Relationship School. And yes, your podcast getting close. But Aiden, you're kind of giving slutty content. Your essays are about breeding, about cum, about poppers. What the fuck? Also, you are being such a mensch, and you're coming on to Substack with me for a live on Thursday. Ew. What are we talking about, Aiden?
We're talking about your throat.
And don't get it twisted. Enough people messaged me. You could twist my throat with your hand wrapped around it. I've gotten enough messages from people actually curious about my tonsil surgery that I was like, you know what? I don't really want to do like a full edited podcast episode, but a Substack Live is so fun, and you are such a Substack king. And obviously, there's going to be people in the chat wanting to ask you questions as well. So
we're going to be.
I do too, and I'm probably going to be smoking a little bit of a J, if that's okay with you.
Well, and I'm going to be in Hawaii, so maybe I'll do it like outside.
Literally chills.
Should speedos Substack Live.
Honestly, me on my like LA, my random LA apartment balcony in a Speedo. Honestly, crazier things have happened.
Waved you from across the Pacific.
And I'll wave to the helicopters that are surveying the crime. Now, we are going to get into a lot of gossipy questions. I do have one to start us off. You went to the US launch for Fruit Fly, Josh Silver's book that's like taking the world by storm, especially the gay world. I obviously have FOMO. I'm going to be asking him to do this podcast, but I want to read the book before I do. And it's like impossible to get our hands on the book. What do you know the tea on that? Why is that book not being so readily available?
So they just didn't expect it to have the life that it had. And then it was given to Anne Hathaway on the press tour of The Odyssey.
I did
and
see that,
that video sort of catapulted it. You know, virality is crazy now, and you just like don't have the expectation. And you know, it is a incredible book that is getting all of the praise, but I just think like publishers and editors probably are like, there's not like a great market for like this sort of like spooky gay thriller.
Yeah.
And then of course it just took off, and like literally every bookstore is like, oh no, now we need it and no one can get it, which I think is also contributing to the drive. Like now that there's this scarcity mindset, everyone's like, well, I have to have it. And
I mean, it worked on me. It's you know, the internet, as we say, was a mistake, but the good parts of the internet are when someone like Josh can write something and then have the circumstances create such a buzz. It's like, you know what? You love to see gay work being celebrated in this way.
Yes. What I love about it, and I will strictly maintain that I will give zero spoilers because I want everyone to be as surprised as I was, but it is thematically, right, about like who's allowed to tell whose stories and how a lot of straight women take gay trauma and make millions out. So like not only is it a brilliant book that I think is one of the best books I've read in years, but it has such like a real world meaning and import for me, because that's something I really feel. So on a meta level and a literature level, it really works so well. I'm so happy for him, and he's so kind.
A lot of people want to know about you and your herstory. And so I'm going to ask you the question I ask many people when they return to this podcast. And that question is, who was your first gay? Who was the first person you were like, that one?
Like desire or like gay awakening? Like what's the, just like that
one? I think for my two cents, it's more like someone either in pop culture, you're like, I see myself in them, or maybe in IRL, like a teacher was giving gay and you might have had a crush on them, or they gave you like some beautiful core trauma. A first sort of big instance of like you seeing gay in a person and it giving you a visceral reaction.
He was not gay, but the first person that comes to mind is my middle school PE coach.
Because you were hurting for a squirting.
Yeah, just like stocky, bald, always wore the short shorts, was like a little mean. I was a little scared of him, but he really sticks with me to this day.
Which is beautiful Shaw. Because the I love we're giving names. The last time you did this podcast, I think Mr. Shaw might have come up, and it's
I think so,
so
too because I was
just
like,
so beautiful
the
that he sticks in your brain this way. You think he's confirmed straight?
I think so, but again, I have not followed up. I have no clue about what his life is like since I was 12.
Damn, I mean, a bald
man. He could be listening to this podcast. I don't know.
Mr. Shaw, we say aloha, girl. I wish him and his thick hairy thighs well. Would you say that hairy thighs still speak to you based on that core memory?
100%. And like, happy summer. They're just all out. Which is also why I'm actually, you know, sad about the trend of these like long shorts that are happening right now. I want to go back. I wear a nice, like a 4-inch short because A, I get really hot.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, these baggy shorts, these like Y2K shorts, I'm not into. Because they're essentially culottes.
And I have, me in a baggy pant or a short is giving 8th grade fat girl with braces. Me and too. That was me. So like, yeah. Although I don't really trust that you don't look good in a baggy pant, but whatever. You did though, last time you came on the podcast, we did talk about sort of like body stuff. And I know that you've had fitness as a big priority. We actually talked about PE trauma, which is sort of connected to Mr. Shaw in a different way. But also the added gay pressure of looking good is a whole level of body dysmorphia that a lot of us experience. Now, obviously, we're celebrating the work you've done. We're celebrating your big tits. We're celebrating all of the deliciousness that I've been blessed and many of us have been blessed to see. But I want to know, as an unlicensed therapist, you're looking gorgeous on the outside, but how is she on the inside? Are we feeling empowered by this look? Are we feeling suffocated by the need to have abs? How are we doing?
Yes, and.
Sure.
I think it's a really interesting balance of like, I don't know, like the pressure to have a body that is on the internet and connected to your work and your job and status is very complicated. And, you know, like a little while ago posted like a before and after, because, you know, I was a chubby kid growing up in Hawaii, and the way that I would get through that, and like, you know, because we'd always have to go to the beach and we'd go to the beach for school, and like I hated the beach, and it has a lot of triggering moments for me.
Yeah.
And what I would tell myself is, well, when you get older, you will have the body that you want, blah, 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 blah. And so it's the balance of like, well, I really wanted to put in a lot of work and do this, like something that is, you know, 25 years in the making. And it feels good to get acknowledgement for it. And it feels really toxic to have so much strictness about it. So it is a I don't know, a weird balance.
Do you mean like the strictness of like the way that you are either eating or working out feels like you're questioning sort of like if what's worth it?
It's not even what's worth it. I think, you know, I think I know that it's not like healthy in terms of like how I listen to my body. Like I feel very healthy and I feel very strong. The program that I've been doing is the first program I've done that I like I haven't really gotten injured doing. Like it actually is teaching me about how to move
Shout
my
out.
Body.
Yeah.
And yet it's like, yeah, like I am being strict about what I eat, but I'm also like eating healthy. So it's like it's not.
And you're probably feeling pretty good because of the healthy food. But let's, you know, as someone who wants to get to the core truth of this, what is the food that you're not eating that you wish you could say, fuck this plan, I want to have as much of blank? What is it?
Fats. The biggest change that I have learned in this past year that I've been doing these new workouts is the diet is 40% carbs, 40% protein, 20% fat.
And give me an example as a girl that might not be smart. What is fats? What are fats?
So everything you eat is made up of those three things.
Right.
Right. So if you eat like butter is all fat, protein powder is all protein, rice is all carbs essentially. And so like the amount of fat that I'm supposed to eat for that amount is like 2 croissants.
Over like a day?
Yeah. Like that. Yeah, that is the extent of how much.
And then everything else is like fucking beef and fucking.
But like it's like 3 ounces of beef. Like it is really woken me up to how much fat is put into things.
Also, you're 6'2", and you have need to like probably eat a lot of protein to like. It's just it's listen. I don't know if anybody's interested in this conversation, but like I just think it is like just the cost of being a fit gay guy is real, and I'm, you know, I eat a lot less well than you, and I you know, there, it's a balance. It's a balance that we have to question about, like taking care of our bodies, and then also like our emotional brains that loves to distract ourselves from the issues of the world and our own insecurities by eating Jenny's. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes. Jenny's, because we're gonna talk a lot about Jenny's on the Substack Live.
You better believe.
But also, it's like the gay body conversation will never go away, and I talk a lot about it in terms of like currency, and I have a lot of currency, and the most important thing is like right that you figure out how to appreciate what you have and how you can use it, and that is a journey that I am on. And not always,
also,
like,
but appreciating how
with.
You look now, like you know those whole like right. famous things of like people that say they look back at photos and like, oh, I hated myself back
Same.
Then. Like,
yeah,
like I feel like everybody listening right now, and like you and I, like should like have like an actual moment of like, listen, what we look like right now. Sure, we're gonna pick things apart, but it's like the us in the future is gonna be gooning to the thought of looking like what
Correct.
We look like right now. So like,
and some of the most fit people I know are the least happy with their bodies because Hello. It does become this like really toxic cycle.
Girl.
So loving your body is more important than loving how you look.
Check. Please. I think that's really important. And I just, yeah, it's like, yeah, the gay body conversation is always going to happen. But within it, let's try to like have a goddamn ounce of perspective. I think there's also a fun question when regarding perspective, like for Aiden Wharton's growth as a creator. I just, you know, as somebody who's also hustling my tits off, you are hustling your tits off. You're growing this stunning Substack. You're growing this stunning social platform. And of course, tits. But I want to ask a question that I don't know if anybody's asked you. When you are now out in the world, mm-hmm. and now that you have this best-selling Substack and people following you, when people stop you in public, what is your favorite and least favorite thing people say to you?
Ooh. I was on Fire Island. This was like a funny story. I was on Fire Island and I had just made these videos about poppers.
Uh-huh.
And somebody came up to me and was like, oh my, wait, you're the poppers video guy. I literally just finished watching it. And then he pulls out poppers from his pocket. He's like, you have to try these. These are so good. And I was like, this is important.
That is important.
Isn't that incredible?
Did you try the poppers?
Of course.
And did they
I think they were from Europe.
So
I was like, oh, these are very nice.
Chic say lovely.
Because the amyl nitrate is outlawed here. But I would say the most heartwarming thing is when people say that the work that I do, especially around open relationships and relationships, has really helped them and their husbands or partners. That's
Hell
the most
yeah.
meaningful.
Let's celebrate.
Which happened
that.
At your show at Joe's Pub in line.
Shout out. Well, mm-hmm. shout out to Joe's Pub and shout out to horny gay guys talking to you in public. What's your least favorite thing people say to you?
The sex questions. About like my, there's a really thin line as a sex educator on the internet and in person between what people think that they have the agency to ask me about.
Yeah,
and I think I like really try to straddle that line pretty well between like, here's why this thing matters to me and my take on it without being sort of salacious because.
Yeah, but you just said straddle. So now people are going to picture you straddling. It's just you can't win. And then your leg goes
you
to your ear.
And then I just do a stretch.
We live in different worlds creatively, but I do obviously talk about sex. And so it's like, you know, some of my DMs are nutso, but it's understandable. But I guess the real then hard hitting question would be, how do you feel about me asking you personal questions once the paywall goes up on Substack in this episode?
Well, obviously great about it because girl, we're hustling how we need to hustle. And Andy, I'll do anything for you.
Famous last words. Well, I have a long list of hard-hitting questions about Aidan Wharton's views on the world and views on the things you talk about. Just as a quick preview for that, I'm going to ask about gym cruising because you wrote about that for Gady. I'm going to ask about if you're hornier at night or in the morning. I'm going to ask about douching. I'm going to ask about cum. I'm going to be asking about edging. I'm going to be asking about age gaps. You've written about so many things that I really want to ask you about. So my preparation has gone pretty deep, if you will. But
y'all, I've got another book recommendation for you, and this one is a spicy gay cowboy romance. Ooh, yippee-ki-yay. It's called Saving the Rain by Elliot Rose, and just listen to this description. After a devastating rodeo injury, bareback bronc rider, Case Wilder has no choice but to rely on the one man he spent years trying to forget, his estranged stepbrother and longtime rival Zeke. I'm telling you, these scenes are very explicit, and the fact that it's about stepbrothers, what? I was blushing on my recent American Airlines flight. No jork. And by the way, I've never had a stepbrother fantasy, but forbidden love has absolutely been a part of my journey. I'm sure you all know that I talk about daddies here. When I was younger, I would read nifty.org and those camping stories. This book sort of took me back there. These like hot outdoor scenes, just so delicious. So please check out Saving the Rain by Elliot Rose, wherever books are sold in print and in ebook. I promise you won't regret it. Listen, if you enjoy this podcast, you're probably horny, or at least consider yourself to be a part of the horny experience. And y'all, I just read a book with a whole bunch of hornery. It is called The Dare by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue. And if you listen to the podcast for a while, this is not the first time I've talked about Harley LaRue. I love their work, and this book is just so delicious. It follows a former prom queen who falls for a guy she went to high school with, but it's a guy she would have never expected to go for. There's also gay representation and gay hornery, and I do think you, as a gay-ass podcast listener, would enjoy. I highly recommend you go check out The Dare, if only for the fact that Amazon banned it temporarily for being too sexy. What? So go check out The Dare by Harley LaRue, available now wherever books are sold.
This next segment I want to get into, I did it with Jaren Reitfeld. It was really fun. And so I'm going to bring it back for Aidan Wharton. And the segment is called Stars. They're Just Like Us. And for this, I'm going to ask you a bunch of colloquial, sort of random questions that might seem just boring and, you know, general. But people want to know the answers from an Aidan Wharton. So let's play Stars. They're Just Like Us. Question let's number play. One. What is your favorite over-the-counter medicine?
Aleve, because my back hurts all the time.
And yet he's still not being injured because he's doing a program that's working for him. But also he has to take the Aleve because there is some inflammation.
A very long torso, which means I have a very weak back.
Sure. Shout out. What part of your back hurts the most? Lower, mid, or upper?
Lower, all the way.
Same. Want to hear the most devastating story? Happens.
Yeah.
I slipped a disc in my back when I was doing a show, but that show was the Berenstain Bears Live, and I was playing Papa Bear in a fat suit, and the way I hurt my back was singing a song, "You've got so much fluff on your tummy that you one day bust your pants," and it's a song about the dad being fat, and the choreography, you kept touching his toes, and I did that like months, and I was also like, we were building the set ourselves because it was like a non-union children's theater show, and so lifting all that shit, throwing my body to touch my toes over and over, one performance, snap, crackle, pop, and I still deal with lower pain shit too this day. So that's a shout out to non-union theater. Stars, they're just like us. Aidan Wharton, do you sleep naked in pajamas? What do you do?
I got like a really nice pair of sort of varsity shorts, but then if I get too hot, they come off really fast.
What's the varsity short? Is that just giving like sort of like
it's loose? You know, like nice laundry. It's not nice laundry, but that's sort of the that's what I everyone see. Thinks they are. Yeah, sort of like really stunning. Silky meshy.
Love that. What about do you make your bed every day?
Yes.
Do you think you're better than me?
Yeah, but not for that reason. No, of course not.
Okay, stars are just like us. Is there a reality TV show of choice that you love to tune into?
I'm not a reality gay.
So actually, you really do think you're better than me.
I take it back. Traitors. Traitors is a reality TV show.
And it's
Traitors
a very
good I adore.
One.
And Bake Show. I guess that also counts. I went to like Housewives, which I don't watch that kind of reality, or like Love Island, but I like a competition.
No,
I'm
and Traitors.
For Traitors New Blood.
I cannot wait. I have slight regrets that I didn't apply because the second they announced it, I was like, God, how fun would that show be? But you never know.
Well, it's also like, I was watching some reel about it and they're like, it's the influencer season because it goes for everywhere from like, I don't know, a couple thousand followers to like 1.5 million.
Yeah.
Which, what is her, Morgan? I forget her last name, but I'm really hyped for her because I love her stuff.
I don't know if I know Morgan, but I can't wait.
She makes sort of these like whisper videos about like how your email finds me, and she's like, of course it finds me terrible because the world is burning and everything's going to say, and like blah blah blah, blah. Like it's just
say
ASMR
that,
it's so good.
Okay, so then from ASMR to Peacock, I can't wait to see. It's sort of like when, like on Drag Race, when some of the TikTok Instagram girls get in front of a big set and see how they perform. It's I love that sort of human test. What about this question? Aiden Wharton, do you want to have kids one day?
Nah. It feels too ethically fraught at this point.
Oh.
And honestly, too much work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's actually like the priority number one.
Speaking of, this is going to be a good question that, okay, so if we're like thinking about, we're not going to have kids, we're going to put our heart into our art, we're going to make our shit. And then let's say we continue to grow, Aiden, you, for whatever reason, come into like an amount of money where you're like, I want to spend $5,000 on a trip. I don't know money, so maybe it needs 10. I don't care. I just want to know, where does Aiden Wharton want to go with, and doesn't have to worry about the financial aspect of the trip?
New Zealand is the first thing that comes to mind. I really would love to I love hiking. I love nature. New Zealand or like Thailand. Some of the landforms in Thailand are really enticing to me.
Who
so
knew?
Those would
we
probably
would be talking about landforms in this interview, Aiden.
I love a little geography.
She's a geo girl. I'm actually on my bucket list is Thailand for sure. I would love, I'm really hoping to manifest in this next chapter of my life some more travel. While this is very small, my birthday is September 21st and it falls on a Monday. So like the Friday to Sunday, I'm doing a very small group to Big Bear for the weekend.
Cute.
And it's going to be like a weed smoking, baking, hiking, like there's like hot tub. Like that's, I'm really excited to.
What's your go-to bake?
My go-to bake is, I would say, I mean, truly it's cliche, but there's a brown butter chocolate chip cookie recipe that just makes my eyes roll in the back of my head.
Will you send it to me?
Of course.
I love baking.
Oh, me
also,
too.
Have we talked about our birthday? Because my birthday is 5 days after yours.
You're the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So you're
I was supposed
so you're
to be born on the 21st. That was my
whoa,
due date.
Whoa.
That was late.
So actually, I posted on Instagram asking if people had questions for you. And one of the questions was your sign. So you were giving Libra.
Libra, sun, Cancer, rising, Scorpio, moon.
And shout the brunch out. Fast food chain of choice. I know you eat really well, but you're on a road trip. You got to go fast food. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm either going, Taco Bell is really calling to me right now. Mm-hmm.
Which is a gamble, but a lot of times
it is
it's
a gamble,
worth
it. But I don't know. It just is really it's what I want.
You're at the gym. What is the music playing in your earbuds that is making you feel like you can lift a building?
Like full like rave house music. So I'm like dancing and I'm lifting.
Hot.
And everyone at my Astoria gym hates it. All the straight, like conservative bros. But
it's
it feels
so
like
funny.
A little act of rebellion where I get to be like a little bit gay because they're like a little bit bigoted.
Yeah. Do you wear slutty outfits to the gym?
I wear some pretty short shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going tank? Are we going t-shirt? Are we going either?
Tank always. Again, I sweat a lot, so I don't like sleeves.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll ask about Pitts over on Substack, because how could I not? And speaking of, we only have a couple more minutes left until we get there. So because you brought up poppers, I'm going to give a little tease to the Substack side of this. So when would you say was the last time a popper stench went into your nasal cavité?
I'm going to go like last week. Feels right. Yeah.
I love that so much.
A popper's stench. A popper's aroma. Come on.
I'm so sorry. I
give
need
them
to
some love.
Rework the marketing of how I... Yeah. Stench. I don't know. There's something about like the word stench that's sort of like mask and hot to
sure.
me. And I... So actually, maybe you should give some more respect to the word stench.
Bam. Maybe I should.
Look at that tension. Okay, so our episode in January was called Hooking Up With My Friends, and people loved the episode. But I want to ask you, before we do the final question on the main feed, the question is, what is your favorite part about hooking up with friends, like having that sort of like intimate connection with friends? Favorite part, and then what would you say is the biggest challenge?
Yeah, favorite part, they actually are kind of two sides of the same coin. I think there is an intimacy that lends itself to hooking up with your friends, whether that is friends who you hook up with or hookups that become friends.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like I'm an emotional person. I like connections. So I don't love a one-off or like an anonymous moment.
Yeah.
And so it's just being able to have that physical intimacy with somebody who also knows like the deep emotional side of you. That feels really safe and comforting. But then the challenge sometimes is navigating those boundaries and being like, okay, like this is a moment where I just need us to be platonic. Or if you stop wanting to have sex with them, how to have that conversation. You know, I think it's one of the great gifts of being gay is that we get to navigate all of these lines. And obviously you and I talk about like horny stuff all the time. And so, you know, it's like horniness is also work and friendship. Like it all is sort of boiled together, which can be so great and so tricky.
Well, it's the challenge of communication about like having the bravery to sort of say what you feel in the moment, whether it's like, I want to not hook up anymore, or I do want to do, you know, whatever it is. Like, I think that is kind of what you talk about with open relationships that I think is really great, is that it does come down to communication, and it comes down to knowing what you want and then being attuned to what your partner or that friend wants. And so people give open relationships so much shit, and we're not here to like, you know, have that discourse, but I think like the actual beauty underneath it, when it's done well, is that it's good communication and it's great sex and it's a great life. Right. When it's not done well, it's people getting fucked over left and right and people putting their own sort of baggage and like using openness as like an excuse. Anywho, we want to go.
Can I add?
By all means.
Like that is sort of like why I try to talk about them so much and why I write about them on Gay Buffet so much and on Instagram, is just because we as gay men specifically experience open relationships at a much higher rate than other demographics.
Yeah.
And yet we like don't give them any sort of serious analytical thought. We either treat them as like something that is so common that you don't need to talk about it or so like dumb. And so that's what I love to do, is I'm like, no, let's like actually talk about it, because gay open relationships are different than poly relationships, than different than straight open relationships. Like they have their own relationship to sex. And because we have no rule book, we practice them really badly often. And so what I try to do, and why I've talked to so many other like open couples, is like really pull in the things that work so that we can sort of move past this people using open relationships to exploit.
Yeah. And like lying to people about like they're going on a date and then they don't tell that person that they have a partner back home. I'm like, stop doing that. You're giving us a bad fucking name.
Exactly.
Since my gay journalism hat is being pinged, would you ever consider being in a poly relationship?
Not at the time. Not now.
Good answer.
You know, it's like,
good answer. Things shift.
Things shift. And I think like, you know, the whole thing with like being married and being in an open relationship, and why I like openness as separate than poly, is it still is a dynamic surrounding one central relationship with other experiences. Would somebody look at my relationship and relationships and say, because I have emotional connections, that's poly? Maybe. But for me, it's about the focus.
Yeah, love.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to focus on the final podcast question for this main feed before we get into Substack, where, of course, I'm going to be asking about the cruising, the breeding, the gooning, the conquering. and that final question for the main feed is, Aiden Wharton, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if she's a character actress, but my first instinct was Carrie Coon.
Oh. You know what? She's a character actress.
Is she? I don't know. I think that's debatable.
Well, let's have the debate, because this is the fun part of this question. I have a very arbitrary definition of character actress that has been made up by me, and there can be people who listen to this who are like in disagreement. Great. Mm-hmm. My definition is a woman over 40 who has worn one wig one time. The actual distillation underneath that is that it is a woman that you watch on screen that you feel that brings her certain, let's say, Carrie Coon deadness into the role, but then they're playing such a wide range of roles that you're not thinking that it's like the same character, and you can also picture yourself drinking a mimosa with them and just like fagging out. That to me
is then
like,
I stand by that.
Yeah, I think Carrie Coon, like, I'm just thinking about White Lotus and Gilded Age. Okay, I'm thinking about
Bug, which she did on Broadway and was unhinged in the best way.
I heard she was phenom. I think that she so disappears into her roles so well, but then also, like, I don't know if you saw, like, she had this really great quote about the reason why she can do a Broadway play now is because she got a platform from TV and film, and she's just like such a real, she's just so real about like how the industry works. She's an actor's actor. She's like most likely a amazing hang, and happens to be one of the most talented people on the planet.
And have you seen her in The Leftovers?
No.
Oh. Okay, put it on your list. Incredible. It's where I fell in love with her. And I have a friend who works at the theater where they did Bug. And he was like, she is the kindest, most respectful, most humble actor I've ever worked with.
And everybody breathe that in, because when we get to hear about IRL character actress attitudes and experiences, and we hear that one of our greatest are actually amazing hangs.
Mm-hmm.
A gay little boy gets his
wings.
Aiden Wharton, that is such a stunning answer, and you always give stunning answers on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. I'm very excited for Thursday for us to discuss my throat. Maybe I'll ask about your throat, talk about the recovery. Oh, I will be talking about why I got tonsil surgery. There is a very specific reason. And then, of course, people can ask their questions in the live chat. So everybody, that is on Thursday, September 3rd at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and whatever time it is in Hawaii, where
2 p.m. Hawaii time.
2 p.m. for all my Hawaiian listeners. And I probably will be smoking a J. Aiden might be. But Aiden, can you tell these listeners where to follow you, how to find all of your gorgeous stuff?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram primarily, Aiden Wharton, A-I-D-A-N, not E-N. And then you can find me on Substack at Gay Buffet, which today I am the number one rising bestseller in health and wellness.
And say that.
Number 69 on the overall leaderboard, which feels important for what I do. So Gay Buffet, Instagram, my podcast is called Getting Close, but we are on hiatus until next year. We finally figured out. So this is an announcement. we'll come back January of 27.
Ting.
Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay, everybody, we've linked all of Aiden's stuff in the description. Go check out Gay Buffet on Substack, Aiden's Instagram, Getting Close in January. Watch our live on Thursday. And thank you so much all for being here. But there's still a lot more to see you, M, with this Substack portion. Now, I want to get into it with a question about, I think I'm going to start with gym cruising. You wrote for Gaiety a full essay about gym cruising, and I would love to know your relationship to it, and if you have any hot tales that maybe have come from the past that might make us gleek.
So I'm going to let you down, because my relationship to it is that I don't do it, which is why I wanted to write the article. Never have. It really stresses me out. Which is, again, sort of when I pitched it to Gaiety, I was like, it's a really good avenue for me to take because it's like, I don't know how to do it. I'm not good at it. So what can I learn? How can I sort of be this conduit?
Yeah.
And so I took to Instagram, did my surveys, got all this information from people, and then gave these. I just like, I get so like nervous.
No, that's
and
very
again,
fair.
Like,
I mean,
I like to talk to people and I like to like have a connection. And
it doesn't push everyone's buttons. And but because I am a businesswoman and I want these people to gleek, then let me move to another question, which is, no, you didn't. You're the honesty is so preferable. What about another essay you wrote is called The Complexities of Cum? 85% of respondents say that they enjoy cum. Are you in the 85%?
Obviously.
And in here at Gay Ass Podcast today, we are celebrating cum. And now since we are getting behind that paywall, or it's about to cut off right now, Aiden, start to tell me what you like about cum, and then we'll cut it off, but actually tell me.
I mean, it's what I say in the article. Like, I love that it is about so much more than just this physical thing that we do. Like, it is the...
For the rest of the interview, head to Substack, linked below, where you will also find chats with Colin Braun, Rich Burns, Christopher Pattison Rosso, Tyler Varvel, Sebastian Dino, Cody Silver, Johnny Sibley, Sam Altizer, and more. It's at substack.com/@EricWills. And I will see you there for a gorgeous, hairy, horny time. I love you. Bye.